Welcome on to church. If you would please open your Bibles with me, the book of 2 Corinthians this morning, 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, as we are in week 5 on a 6-week series of several things we're going to give our lives to in 2021 that we're just simply calling Forward 365 Everyday Faith. Now, this is a big Sunday in the life of our country, the Super Bowl Sunday. So let's just kind of get this over with. Okay, Chiefs, Chiefs fans, who we got the Chiefs? Okay, yeah, not bad. Okay, how about the Buccaneers? Yep, Tom Brady. Here we go. We're going to win another one. Buccaneers. How many of us, we're not going to watch the game. We're going to eat ice cream. We're just going to enjoy ice cream. Okay, ice cream. Ice cream's always undefeated, is it not? Hey, use tonight as an opportunity to fulfill mission, to be a blessing. I'm obviously going to use wisdom and caution, but use it as an opportunity to point people to Jesus. And that's exactly what we've been studying. What is it that we are going to give our lives to in light of the mission God has given our church? Mission does not exist for the church. The church exists for mission. So what is it that we're about here? Well, FBCBA exists to reach BA and beyond by multiplying disciples to follow Jesus. We want to make disciples that make disciples that make disciples that follow Jesus, which then means that everything we do counts, that everything in our lives then should be strategically aligned to helping people follow Jesus. So what does that look like? So we said, well, you know, the first week, we want to be Jesus first in 2021. We want the direction of our lives to be for Jesus. We want the decisions in our lives to be for Jesus. We want the dreams of our lives to be for Jesus. Life is defined by who you seek, who you pursue, and we want to pursue Jesus. We also want to be intentional then about taking a step. The fruitful life is a result of a faithful life. And so we want you to faithfully give your lives to about 5 things in 2021. We want you to engage in a worship service. We want you to be in a group. We want you to invest in a few. We want to take the gifts God has given you and make an impact. And then we want you to give it away. Why? Because we talked about in week 3, people see or do what they see. Jesus says that we are to make disciples of all nations. Well, we do that in living a life daily for Him, a life that belongs to Him by teaching others to imitate and follow Him. People do what they see. Last week we talked about you using the gifts God has given you to bless others. The greatest gift you can give to someone else is to give them the gift God has given you. Why? Because you are gifted by God to make an impact for God. And so from the scriptures, we challenged and inspired you to identify your gift, to plug in to our Next Steps ministry here and in preschool and kids and students and adults. Use the gifts God has given you to point to Jesus Christ. And church, can I celebrate with you this morning? We had 52 people last week that text STEP to 45776. 52 people that says, you know what? I'm ready to identify my gift. I'm ready to define my gift. I'm ready to take the gift God has given me and to make an impact for Him, which is why I want to talk to you about today, about living a life of generosity, about being generous, about being intentional, about giving your life away. Now, the world tells us that if you want to prosper, then you must hold on to everything. You must hoard it, save it, invest it to the best of your abilities. Good luck. Well, what does the Bible say? Did you realize that there are over 2,300 verses in the Bible about money and possessions? The Bible tells us that God is the owner and provider of all monetary wealth. That wealth and possessions is a gift of God, freely given as an expression of God's commitment to His glory through His people. Your life counts. God owns us and owns it all. And He entrusts us as stewards to manage the resources that He has given us for His glory. You see, generosity keeps us focused on who and what matters most. As a result of God's generosity to us through Jesus Christ, it compels a generosity for Him. And so you and I then must be intentional about, okay, what truly does matter in my life? Who or what matters most? The standard given to us isn't confined to the Harvard Business Journal. It isn't found in the world or on C-SPAN or Fox Business, but rather it's seen through the life of Jesus Christ. Jesus is the standard for all Christian generosity. And believers are commanded to give like Jesus did, freely and generously. We're to give it away. We're to hold fast to our King. And all the spoils of his kingdom are his. And if he wants them, he can have them. And he blesses us in order for you and I to bless others, to point people to him. Tragically, demographers tell us, and granted this is pre-pandemic, but even in 2018 to 2019, the average churchgoer, you ready for this? Gives right at 1.1% to 3.4% of their total assets to fulfill God's mission and to build God's kingdom. May you and I, in light of who Christ is and what he has done, may we live a life of generosity. Which then means, the one thing I want you to get for your walk into your life, in light of this text, is that generosity is not something God wants from us, but for us. Paul is writing a letter to motivate Christians in Corinth to give generously and faithfully. He desires to gather an offering for the poor in the church at Jerusalem. He's trying to inspire these tight-fisted Corinthians to use the resources that God has blessed them to bless others. And so he lifts high the name of Christ. He compels the mission of Christ. And then he says, you choose. And in light of that truth, he says in verses 6 through 8 of 2 Corinthians chapter 9, the point is this: whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. For each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. Generosity is not something that God wants from us, but for us. Now, Paul teaches us this point by using here an agricultural proverb. He details the temporal and eternal principle of joyful and selfless and generous giving. He says here, whoever sows sparingly in verse 6 will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. The harvest is directly proportionate to the seed that is sown. The more seeds you plant, the greater potential for the harvest. Sow little, harvest little. Sow much, harvest much. Now, I don't know about you, but exegetically, one, I wanted to make sure this was in alignment. But two, principally, how does this work? And so I call my father-in-law. My father-in-law has been a farmer in northern Oklahoma for over 60 years. And so I said, Tony, I said, how many kernels can you get with one seed? He said, well, what kind of seed? Wheat, soybeans, or corn? I said, you choose. He said, how about corn? I said, all right. I said, if I plant one corn seed, how many kernels can come from that one seed? And he goes, well, and you can hear the old gears working. And he said, in one seed of corn, you can have 640 kernels. With one small seed, there are endless possibilities exponentially. From that one decision, there can be countless other decisions that can come. Because your life is a result of your decisions. And so Paul here says, look, let me give you this imagery. You can sow sparingly, you're going to reap sparingly. Or you can sow bountifully, and you will reap bountifully. God is no man's debtor. He is faithful to give abundantly more than you can ask or think.
generous Christ follower will always have enough. And the more generously you give to God, the more graciously God blesses and gives to you. Generosity begets generosity. Generosity unleashes exponential blessing proportionally on our lives. Now, may I remind you, this isn't just a teaching of Paul's in the New Testament. Remember what Jesus says in Luke chapter 6, verse 38? Give and it will be given to you. Good measure pressed down, shaken together, running over will be put into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. The more we give, the more God gives back in return. Which in light of who God is and what he has done, I want to inspire you and challenge you to give your life away, to live a life of generosity. Generosity is not something God wants from us, but for us. So choose. Paul says in verse 7, each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Let me ask you this question. Do you see God as a taker or giver? Now think about that. Because the answer to this question can exponentially change your life in 2021. How we see God influences everything about our lives. Our motives, our desires, our attitudes, and actions. So how do you see God? Is he a taker or he's a giver? A.W. Tozer was right. He wasn't just the maker of some great root beer, right? He was an incredible philosopher when he said, what comes into your mind when you think about God is the most important thing about you. So choose, is God a taker or a giver? You see, if we feel God as a taker or a depleter or a demander, then God is draining us of what is rightfully ours. Furthermore, we feel we can get and take and keep the things of the world as long as possible. It's almost this kind of begrudgingly effort that, oh, really, Lord, once again, you're asking me to trust you. Really, God, once again, you're wanting me to live by faith. Why? Because you are taking, you are draining me of what is rightfully mine. Do you feel God as a taker? Or do you feel God as a giver? If God is a giver, then he is a gracious supplier. The one who endlessly enables his gifts towards us and freely rewards our giving to him. Paul says, choose, decide in your heart. Is God a taker or a giver? For each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion. You see this word decide here? It means to choose deliberately. It stresses the idea that giving is not to be forced, is not to be coerced, is not to be given out of sorrow. I mean, if you want it that much, keep it. Rather, as a personal, calculated decision that is settled within the Spirit's conviction of one's heart. Being generous, living a life of generosity, is a choice. It is a personal conviction as a result of who God is and what he has given us. Generosity, then, is God glorifying, self-motivated, voluntarily sacrificial, obediently cheerful. For generosity is enabled by God's grace, and it affirms his lordship. For God loves a cheerful giver.
You see this word cheerful here in verse 7? It's of a word hilarion. It means hilarious or happy, thrilled is Paul's point. God wants you to love giving to him, to be obediently cheerful in fulfilling his mission in your life. Not something that is a burden, but a joy. Not something that is seen to harm you, but to bless you. For generosity is not something God wants from us, but for us. For the Lord loves a cheerful giver. Have you ever seen that hilarious, happy emotion in somebody? This is my 4-year-old, Tate. He's our youngest son. And this is him this Thursday. Tate goes to school right here at Community Preschool at First Baptist. Loves it. Wonderful, wonderful place. Wonderful blessing. And so on Mondays and Wednesdays and Thursdays, he goes to school. So we got up Thursday and said, Tate, get up, get dressed, and comb your hair. And so he comes in the living room looking like this and says, done. I said, well, son, you need to get dressed. I'm dressed. I got my shoes on. Okay. Son, do you need to comb your hair? I did. I got my hat on. So off to school he went. So he goes to school Monday, Wednesdays, and Thursdays, which means on Tuesdays, I generally have lunch with Tate. And Tate's favorite place to do lunch is this McDonald's right here off Hillside and Lynn Lane. So usually I kind of work through lunch, and then I go from the office, and I go and I grab some McDonald's. He loves a Happy Meal. And I grab it one, and we just sit there at my kitchen table, and we have lunch together. Well, just things were crazy this week, and so I was unable to do that, just a lot going on and those sorts of things. So I come home, and I kind of can sense that there's some things going on here. That, you know, the Tate's been a little ornery. And so I could kind of see where this was going with Mama, and I kind of looked at Tate. And so I got to Tate and say, Tate, what are we going to do about this? Or what do we need to do about this? Which then means, son, you need to apologize to your mom. It's clear there's some things going on here. That, son, you haven't been obeying, and we don't obey the second or the third time in this house. We obey the first time, son. So that's what you need to do. And so I could tell Tate was a little down, and I could tell things were going on. And so I'm sitting there, Tate, what do we need to do? And he looks at me and says, Daddy, I'm down. I need a Happy Meal. Among other things, son, yes, yes. God is so good to remind us that even when life is tough, that even when so many things bring us down, that we can still be happy. We can still be hilariously joyful in giving our lives to the Lord. And God says, that is how I want you to give to me. Generous giving gives more, not to get more from God, but to be more like God, who joyfully gave his son so you and I may have life. And as you and I live our life for him, we are to joyfully, hilariously give back to him. And the Lord loves a cheerful giver. Now, I'll remind you that God, in a general sense, he loves everyone. Remember what Jesus says in John 3:16, for God so what? Loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. But Paul tells us that God has a special affection for those who take delight in giving generously to him. Generous hands reveal a blessed heart. Cheerful givers were first jubilant worshipers. For generous giving reveals the true condition of our faith. I was so humbled this week in reading a biography of Hudson Taylor. And Hudson Taylor was a missionary to China for over 51 years. He selflessly gave his life and his talents to fulfill the Great Commission there. And in 51 years of ministry, they had 800 missionaries that came from his work there. They began 125 different schools. They saw 18,000 conversions in 18 different provinces in China. And here's what Hudson Taylor said. He said, "The less I spend on myself and the more I gave to others, the fuller of happiness and blessing did my soul become." We give generously, not to get, but to bless, to display to others a tangible example, just a brief fraction of what God has so richly given to us in Jesus Christ. God is not a taker. He's a giver. Generosity is not something that God wants from us, but for us. And can I tell you, for those who have such a mindset, for those who live such a life, can I tell you a staggering promise that God gives his people? Look at verse 8. "And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, that you may abound in every good work." Notice the superlatives in verse 8. Four separate times Paul mentions this word, all. And God is able to make some, just a part, no, all grace abound to you, so that you may have all sufficiency in all things at all times. You see, man's wisdom says giving results in having less, not more. But Paul says God promises to provide enough for his people's needs that they can generously bless the needs of others. We have to decide, do our possessions own us, or do we own our possessions? And for those who says God owns it all and can have it all, God says, "I will give all of my grace to you." And God is able to make all grace abound to you. Literally, "I will always have the power and ability to unleash my grace in your life," is the point. God's power is sufficient to fulfill his promises. Which means that you and I can move forward in 2021 in the midst of a pandemic, in the midst of uncertain times. We can have the certainty that the God over us and the God in us will empower his grace in every aspect of our lives. God has freely provided the power to change your heart. Can he not provide the means to bless your life? Now think about this. Some of you have just given your life to Christ. Within the last 3, 6, 12, 18 months, you've given your life to Christ. And you're working this out. You're daily kind of, you know, testing this life of faith and sight. Do I trust the Lord? Well, I've already trusted the Lord. So, or, you know, is God going to provide? Well, he's already provided. You know, is Jesus truly enough? Well, of course he's enough. And you're working that out. Now, some of you, you've been following Christ since the Lyndon B. Johnson administration, all right? Let me ask you this question. Has God always provided? Has his grace always been sufficient? Is there ever a time in your life where God wasn't there? You're living this verse. His grace is abounding to you. And it's God's grace that infuses his generosity through you. Generosity is not something God wants from us, but for us. So his grace may abound to you, Paul says in verse 8. Grace comes down and generosity is to go up. God's grace overflows so much in our lives
that empowers us in our circumstances and compels us to provide and bless others through our lives. This word grace is mentioned 155 times in the New Testament. It is used by the Apostle Paul 100 times in 13 letters. Now, some of you may know this. Here's something you may not know. In 2 Corinthians 8 through 9, you find the largest content in the New Testament about giving. Do you know how many times the word grace appears in those two chapters? Are you ready for this? 10 separate times. Here's Paul's point. God's grace is his action toward you. Generosity is the reaction to him. When you have genuinely received the richness of God's grace in your life, you cannot help but freely display that grace by giving your life. That's Paul's point. So much so that you will have all sufficiency in all things at all times. Every time, Paul says, you will have enough. You will have all that you need. You will have contentment in your situations. Now, I'll remind you that Paul is not using sufficiency here in a philosophical sense, but in an economic sense. You see, the Stoics in Paul's day, they saw sufficiency as independence from people, material possessions, circumstances. To them, self-dependence brought happiness. Paul says, forget that. Baloney. Have nothing to do with it. Paul says, sufficiently, we're different because we depend not upon ourselves, but we depend upon God. A generous life is the reality that God is enough and will always provide. And as we walk out of here and do life, the greatest challenge in us living a generous life is not managing our finances, but managing our faith. We choose daily whether to live by faith or by sight, whether to depend upon ourselves or the Lord, whether to live a life that takes or whether to live a life that gives. Paul says, may God's grace abound to you, that you may abound in every good work. Good deeds and generous living are intrinsic to who we are as disciples of Jesus. Scholars in Paul's day, their motive for giving was to show their own moral superiority. Paul states, God blesses his people not for their own monetary success, but through the generous lifestyle of the disciples, all may be blessed. God gives us more than we need, not so we can have more, but so that we can give and do more for him. I thought of this verse and I thought of a man named John Wesley. And in closing, John Wesley was founder of the Methodist movement in multiple continents. And he was a man in 50 years of ministry that rode over 250,000 miles on horseback proclaiming and sharing the gospel. He went from seeing 4 converts at the beginning of his ministry to having 132,000 49 years later. John Wesley lived his entire life by one principle: never living beyond his means. Living a generous life. Taking what God had given him and said, you know what? I'm going to need this to live and fulfill God's mission. A little bit of margin left over, and everything else I'm going to give away. And the world was never the same.
God changed the world around him because John gave his all to him. Paul says the reason you and I choose to be generous, choose to live a life that says we will give it all away, because we are infused and empowered by God's grace that abounds to us in every good work. That God, as he has graciously already provided Jesus for our greatest need, he will continue to, by his grace, meet our daily needs as we live and bless others for his glory. Which means generosity matters. Everything we do counts. And if we want to live a life that counts, may we be like Jesus. May we be generous. Now, I don't want you to leave here without saying, okay, what practically does this look like in my life? And Brent and I, even in light of this text, have said, well, what does this look like in our lives? And here's four things to consider as you walk out here and do life. Number one, give first and give more. Brent and I have always adhered to the principle of a tithe, that we've always taken our first fruits to the Lord. We've always said, you know what, Lord? 10% or more of our gross is yours. And we've even, during this pandemic, we've been challenged not to give less, but to give more, to live by faith, to trust the Lord, to even in a means of accountability say, no, we are people that will trust Jesus as we follow Jesus. And I would encourage you to do the same, to make sure that you're giving first, to make sure that even during this time that you're giving more to the work of the Lord, more to grow the kingdom, more to maximize Jesus in others' lives. Which then means, secondly, we live generously when we meet a need. What Brent and I have done is we've taken gift cards at local places, you know, some, you know, QT and, you know, Brahms and some, you know, barbecue places, even Dairy Queen. And I place them in my wallet. And so I just ask the Lord every week, God, may I meet a need this week? Whatever that looks like. I'm amazed how God has been so faithful that I can take something so small and make such a big impact in someone else's life, to use it as a means to point to Jesus Christ. Meet a need. Thirdly, it's forced us to audit our house and to, you know, kind of look around and say, you know, the Lord has blessed us with so much, has he not? And so what are some things in 2020 that we did not use? Well, hey, let's put about a 90-day watch on these things. But if we don't use them, about Easter time, they're going. Someone else can be blessed by this. Someone else can use these things, maximize these things, fulfill God's mission, to grow God's kingdom. I think finally, I've been more challenged to give praise to God, to give more praise to God, and to use that as a means to bless others, to make sure that the Lord is getting credit for the good things and the tough things in life, that make sure in my conversations, as I go through the day, I respond to an email, respond to a text, that I'm mentioning the Lord, that I'm giving praise to the Lord, that I'm acknowledging God's work in and through us for his glory. But then also acknowledging and encouraging others. You know, if you haven't noticed, we need that more than any other time in our country. People need to be reminded, you're a blessing. God is for you, not against you. Look for the good in others, and use it as an opportunity to point to an even greater Savior. Hey, thank you for your faithfulness. Hey, thank you for that report. Hey, thank you for always being on time. Hey, you know what? I've noticed you're always prepared. You know, thank you for your diligence and work. Hey, great game the other night. Man, great shot. Wonderful paper. Use those as opportunities to say, you know what? I'm so thankful to God for you. And embrace a lifestyle of generosity. A lifestyle that says, God, all things belong to you, and thus everything I have is yours. Take and use to bring more people to you. God is not a taker. God is a giver. May we give our lives to him. Generosity is not something God wants
from us, but for us. Let's move forward and let's head down this hill and let's live a life of generosity. Would you bow your head and close your eyes? Our Father, as we come today to, Lord, yet another passage in your Bible, yet another reminder, Lord, of who you are and what you've done. God, may we leave this place, Lord, inspired and encouraged. Father, refusing to look inward, but upward. Father, acknowledging the work and the gift that you've already done in our lives through Jesus Christ. And how, God, that inspires and compels us, Lord, not to take, but to give. Not to live a life of sight, but to live a life by faith. Not to be centered upon us, but to be centered upon Jesus. And God, you've been so gracious to give us examples of that. So many people in this room are living out this truth. God, in light of who you are and what you've done, may we give more. May we do more. May we be generous. With every head bowed, with every eye closed, perhaps you're here this morning. The Lord brought you right here for this specific time, for you to hear the message of the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, that God knew it was impossible for us to earn our way, to buy our way to him. And so he came for us through his son, Jesus Christ. And the moment you give your life to Christ as Lord and Savior, the Bible says that God can forgive your sin, that God can take our shame and our failures and our past, and he can give you a new start by giving you a new heart right now in Christ Jesus. And if you believe in Jesus Christ, you confess him as Lord, the Bible says you shall be saved. So if you're here this morning and you desire to give your life to Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, would you just raise your hand right now? Not going to make you come up here, not going to make you make a speech, but I do want to communicate what a relationship with Christ looks like. I do want to give you some next steps so you can follow the Lord. Would you just raise your hand right now? Perhaps you're watching online. If you would, grab out your phone, text Jesus to 45776. We've got team members right now who are ready to meet with you. For those who do know the Lord this morning, are you living a life of generosity? Are you living a life that says, Lord, I'll give it all away. Everything I have is yours. Are you giving first? Are you giving more? Are you meeting a need? Are you evaluating what God has blessed you with and saying, you know what? I don't need this anymore. I'm going to give it to someone else who does need it. Are you giving praise to God? Are you blessing others? God, may we live such a life. May we do all of these things to grow your kingdom, to lift high your son in the name of Jesus Christ, the name above all names. And all God's people said, amen. Church, this is going to be a great week. Some of you are headed off to small groups or Sunday school groups or heading to work in some cool ministry of our church, whether it be preschool or kids or students, adults. Thank you. Thank you for your generosity. Thank you for using the gifts that God has given you to fulfill the mission God has given our kingdom. Thank you for your faithfulness during this time. You know, today's a special Sunday as well because it marks the 20th anniversary of Roe Watkins. Roe, you can come up here, please. Roe is my executive assistant. She was pastor's executive assistant for 18 and a half years. She's been mine now for almost a year and a half.
Her and Steve, they've faithfully attended this service for years. They sit right here at our 9:45 service. Can you give a hand to Ro Watkins? Ro, Steve, love you both. 20 years at our church. Ro, you've been so faithful. Ro, the way in which you've gone about the work of the Lord. You are humble. You are hardworking. Every phone call, any funeral, any ministry opportunity, you've handled with such diligence and grace. You're a blessing in every way. We love you so much here. The Lord loves you, and we love that He's placed you here. And Steve, thanks for allowing us the opportunity to have Ro and for her to use her gifts to fulfill our mission. So for 20 years, we say thank you. Church, can you say thank you one more time? Thank you. We love you. We love you. We love you. Now, hey, before we leave here, let me pray for you, and let me thank the Lord for all that He's doing in and through us. Father God, I thank you, Lord, for this wonderful day. And God, I thank you, Father, for an opportunity now to go live out and fulfill mission. Now, God, I pray for your people. Lord, bless them and encourage them until we're together again. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Church, I love you. Have a great, great week.